This is Confessions of a Pastor. A relentlessly real peek behind the scenes of Journey Church in Bend, Oregon. From church in a strip club to a strip mall, going where Jesus would go to reach people Jesus would reach. The good, the bad, and the ugly, all for the glory of God. A journey of misery and miracles. Your hosts are the founders, Pastor Keith and Kara. There really is hope for everyone.
I'll tell you, I'm excited because it's been a long time since we've done a
Confessions
of a Pastor episode. And let's just talk about why for a moment, and then let's get into why we're doing this, because we are excited about what God's doing, and it's not without its hardships, though, too. And
right.
So, I mean, we started...
Which is why we started this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
The good, the bad, and the ugly is what we share here.
To tell stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we don't cement these somewhere in history, the next generation doesn't know.
Yeah.
People will never hear about these things that we don't share
right.
from the platform or social media.
Right.
But this is our chance to share behind the scenes
Amen.
What God's doing.
Yeah,
not
and
only
he's doing
church,
incredible things.
Yes.
Incredible things. Yeah.
So let's talk about why we haven't done an episode in a while. We got so off rhythm. I mean, we're coming up next month on your 1 year anniversary of being full time Pastor Kara.
Yes, it's true. It's true. Which is a very new world for me. I've been, of course, here from before the beginning of Journey Church, but
yeah, you've always kind of been my co-lead pastor, but didn't operate
kind of
vocationally paid and
yeah, very much behind the scenes. I've always served here, but you know, when we went on sabbatical in 2022, it just reset our whole hearts and lives. And
yes.
I really felt like God was calling me into something new, and it was here, and it was to link arms with you.
Come
it
on.
Took me a few years to get there. I was still hanging on to my business and,
yeah.
And such, but you know, now it's been almost a year
and Kara, you're crushing it.
Oh, thank you.
In so many different ways, you're crushing it, but you got busy too.
I mean, did.
You're the operations pastor. Yeah. We've been busy with a whole slew of things.
Yes. And exciting things.
If you're not intentional, your calendar will run your life.
It's true. This is true. In fact, I'll share this. A couple of weeks ago, I was putting my shoes on. I was tying my shoelaces. Some of our kids were in the room. And I was like, you know, I used to own my own schedule. Now my schedule owns me.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm okay with it. Because when you're called to something, you can't not do it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like what we've talked about with church planters. When people come to us and ask, hey, I'm thinking about planting a church. What is your advice? And my advice is always,
you better be called to this.
Don't do it unless you can't not do it.
Yeah, unless you cannot not do it. Because
right.
if you go through hell, you got to know that I'm going through hell because God called me through this. He's going to get me through the fire. He's going to get me
and
through
the pain. And there's a reason. That, I mean,
on.
He's using it.
He eventually uses it for good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if the enemy intended it for evil, God's going to use it for good. So,
Amen.
I mean, there's so many testimonies that we get to share even today on this episode about what God's been doing, even these long journeys that you wonder like, oh, is this ever going to happen? So just for the record, we got this on a regular rhythm now, or we got this on a calendar.
Right.
So we're going to do this consistently and regularly because we've got a story to tell.
Yeah.
God is doing a good work and he's not finished yet. We know he's going to complete it. We know the best is yet to come.
Amen.
But in the meantime, let's testify to the goodness of God.
Absolutely.
That we dwell in the land of the living.
Yes.
We are overcoming the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Yeah.
So let's just go backwards and then we'll move forward to where we are. Let's go back to maybe 3 years ago on that sabbatical moment.
Yep.
We've talked a lot about this on these episodes.
Yes.
Just that rhythm that God used for us as a reset.
Yes.
That's actually what we often called it. That was a reset. And you need regular rhythms of reset.
Yeah.
It's like your phone or your computer. If you don't shut it down
right.
once in a while, you know, last night I shut down my iPad for the first time, I think, since I got it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but it wasn't working downloading something. This morning it worked.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that probably worked. It was a reset.
Yeah.
And 3 years ago, we had a massive reset.
We did.
It was a reset in our marriage, a reset in the vision of Journey Church, what God put at the beginning, but the bringing back a renewed vision, a doing again vision. Yeah. But during that sabbatical, I'm going to give some backstory that most people would never know. While we were on sabbatical, the elders of Journey Church signed a lease to take over more space in our current
facility. Yeah, an additional 10,000 square feet.
Yeah, and they actually, to give backstory, they didn't even sign a lease for the whole 10,000 square feet.
That's actually true, because they couldn't get it.
They couldn't get it. The landlord said, we'll give you 7,000 of the 10,000.
They wouldn't give us the frontage.
They wanted the front 3,000 to be retail.
Yep.
That's much better for resale of a building, especially for a strip mall, which is where we're located. So they wanted the front portion, which is window?
Something like that.
You know, they wanted the window portion to be, retail. And then they leased 7,000 square feet to the elders. Now, I'll be honest, I thought that was a bad move.
Yeah.
I was like, why are we doing this?
Because let's travel back to 2022. Come on. Were living somewhere else.
We were in Arizona.
We were in Arizona. Yeah. We were in our own wilderness season, metaphorically and physically. We were there, and God was doing what he needed to do in our hearts. But because of that, we weren't on board with it, thinking, you just took on so much more debt, so much more of the lease. We are not even there. We don't know what's going to happen.
And for me, it's just strategically, it's like, how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
When we got back, I'm going to fast forward the story. I called and I called and I called the landlords. It was before you were full time.
Yeah.
So I'm calling these realtors saying, hey, we need that 3,000. It's not going to even work. It's not going to work for the retailer it's not going to work for us. Like, give it to us. After months of begging and pleading, they gave us the $10.
Which is so reminiscent of our last building.
Our story.
It is. It's just what God does with us. He takes us into old, dilapidated places, and then he uses us to bring life and
redemption.
He's a God of redemption. And so what he does with us in the physical is what he's doing in the spiritual, which is so amazing.
And my whole story, my whole life has been no.
Yeah,
no,
it's true.
I mean, I think the enemy uses that for my own insecurities.
Yeah.
Before we started Journey Church, I tried to rent so many spaces in the city of Bend, and I was told no hundreds of times. Everywhere I tried to go, the old mill, downtown, any cool building, it was no. When we tried to buy our last building on Newport, it was no. But then God somehow turns the no's into yeses.
He does.
So we got that 10,000 square feet almost 3 years ago.
Yeah, since in 2022.
I mean, really, it was more than 3 years ago, but the whole space, I mean, so let's just say 3 years ago, we got the space.
Yeah.
And Kara, come on, tell those who are watching or listening, wherever they are, because it may not even mean like much, but we got to tell the backstory to where we are today.
What happened? Just to be able to appreciate it. So this week, we got our final permit from the city. We can occupy that space.
Let's go.
It's beautiful. It is an incredible kid space. In fact, we've talked a lot about that on this podcast, our More Initiative, right? We started that 2 years ago to help just for a couple things. It was a spiritual initiative. It was to empower and encourage people to trust God with their finances. So in giving, and then it was also to help allow us to build out this space. So it was a two-phased process. We pushed the auditorium out, and then now we just got the occupancy for the additional about 9,000 square feet of incredible kids space.
Now, someone who's watching this has to shout out loud amen.
Yes.
Because you've got to testify to the goodness of God.
Yes.
You may not know what this is like for us, but this has been wrestling for more than 2 years.
Yes.
And Kara just got from the city have been a final occupancy.
Praise God.
Now, unless you've been on this journey, you don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
3 years in the making, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds of man hour.
Yeah.
We're talking blood, sweat, tears, the entire staff team of Journey Church pitching in. And you've told me over the last few weeks, like, can you believe this, Keith?
Yeah.
How cool this kid space is.
It's amazing.
This kid space is, it's dope, friends. It is.
Yeah.
It looks good. It feels good. It's big. When families come in, it's going to be awesome. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a huge milestone for us because it's been a 3-year journey.
Yeah.
I mean, what feels like it takes forever. Eventually it happens. And when people walk through those doors, they're not going to know that journey.
Yeah.
That's why we're celebrating today, y'all. We got the final.
Yeah.
We got the permit. This is legal. We get to have church. We've done some things illegally before. but then when we get caught, you get slapped in the,
was all above the board.
We've had these things happen before, but we're making it happen. It is done. It is finished.
I'm excited. The space is incredible. And a part of one of my favorite parts of it are we have two huge, huge worship spaces for the kids. And that just does something inside of me. It's a place where they're gonna meet Jesus there. They're gonna worship there. I really am excited.
And it's for the older kids and for the younger kids. Yeah. And what I really like about that, since our listeners can't see this at this moment, but one day we'll give a broad tour of this, is the signs. We didn't know what to call these spaces, you know?
Yeah.
They're auditoriums, they're sanctuaries. Yeah. What are they? I like how you call this like a worship space. But there's round sign, like just a round sign with a large number one on one, and then a round sign with a large number two on the other. So I can't help but think the Dr. Seuss's thing one and thing two.
You know, like, it does kind of look like that.
I mean,
that.
It looks like, yeah, thing one, you know, like what they used to wear. There's thing one space and there's, yeah, thing two space, but God's going to bless this. It's going to be, yeah, creative. There's so much good, yeah, to happen. And our grand opening is this Sunday.
This Sunday.
So in a future episode, we are going to testify to what that was, yeah, like.
Amen.
The excitement, kids coming. We've got like a mini revival happening within our kids right now. I, yeah, call it mini because it's not full blown yet, but we've got kids who are getting anointed, kids who are getting saved, kids filled with the Holy Spirit, yeah, kids that are worshiping, kids praying and laying hands. We, yeah, have kids that are taking church so seriously. It's who they are. They're, yeah, not going to church. Yeah. This is not religious. I mean, we're changing generational understanding of church.
Yeah.
They are the church, and it's exciting.
Yeah.
So with that said, I can't get this visualization out of my head. We just had Church in the Park this past,
yes,
Sunday.
Yes. Let's talk about that.
It was freaking amazing. But what is spurring me on with this is it was one of the coolest Church in the Parks for me. Watching up front kids, we've always had kids up front because kids will race up front, but usually they're distracted. You know, they're holding hands, running in circles, they're giggling and they're laughing, and they're just being kids. And there's no harm in that. It's beautiful to have kids at church. We had kids up front, but they were worshiping, Kara.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. I love it so much.
Yeah.
We've had it happen at Pursuit Nights, and we haven't been able to testify on here, but kids on their faces.
Yeah.
We're talking 7, 8, 9 year olds on their knees, face to the ground, in a posture like you would see in the Old Testament. I mean, it's like, this is powerful.
Yeah.
And for me on Sunday, you know, there's thousands of people. We're guesstimating 4,800 people there at one park, thousands of people, but, yeah, right in the front to see a child there with arms lifted high and eyes closed is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like sacred to me. It's like, it's the posture of what Jesus said, let the little children, yeah, come. I just had to testify as we were opening, yeah, up a kid space. If, yeah, we're going to see Central Oregon saved and, yeah, we're going to see revival, something's going to birth out of, yeah, children.
Totally. I mean, I even think about my own story. Like, I was not raised in a home that talked about Jesus, that,
right,
really went to church. I found myself in a church,
let's go,
kids ministry at the age of 5. And that is where that's my earliest memory of, wow, of meeting Jesus. And I say that to say, like, this kid space and what we're doing with kids, it will change their lives. It will,
yeah,
change generations.
Let's go.
Because when you meet Jesus, you can't leave the same.
Amen. And we just, last night we stopped by the youth group. And,
yeah,
and Pastor Connor is literally infiltrating,
yes,
into these children a message that I am a beloved child,
yes,
of God. He starts off with, I am, and then they shout, beloved.
Amen.
You know, it's really powerful because,
yeah,
I told him if he keeps this mantra up, it's like, listen, the world has no problem pouring into our children,
yeah,
really negative messages about identity and sexuality and politics. It's time for the church to rise,
absolutely,
up and pour in the message of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Identity.
We need to be the culture creators.
Amen.
I think it's what we've always strived to do here is to actually set culture,
come on,
not be influenced by it.
Amen. I saw that on the back of the bus at the college that our son's going to.
Yeah.
It says equipping culture creators.
Yeah.
And I took a picture of that because I'm like, come on, that's,
yeah,
what the church should be.
Yes.
And I love that a university is raising up young adults to be culture creators.
Absolutely.
And we're going to do the same thing. And I got the vision last night with Pastor Connor, like, cause he's doing it with excellence. He's,
yeah,
pouring it in with passion, and it may look small right now, but what I told him is, you know, the Old Testament prophetic word of do not despise small beginnings.
Amen.
The plumb line starts and it,
yep,
looks small, but it's being drawn for the building. You know, it's like architectural plans. They start somewhere and the plumb line has been drawn at Journey Church. God's,
yeah,
using teaching young people unashamedly. It's the next generation, and I can't wait.
I mean, our teams are full of young people, the youth that serve.
Yes.
It's incredible to watch them in production and social media.
All over the place.
Worship. Like it's incredible to see that they're at that age giving their life to serve Jesus. It will stick with them.
And we talked about that. It's not the next generation that we're going to have to try to keep in the church. They are the church.
Yeah.
So if we get a preteen and a teen and then they graduate and this is their church and they believe in the church, all of those challenges over the last 3-4 decades that the church have been struggling with, and you have sociologists and you've got professional psychologists and pastors and professors all trying to say, how do we keep this generation? How do we bring them back to church? Well, the problem is they should never leave.
Yeah.
They should be the church. And so it's very exciting to me to see this as well.
Yeah.
Kids serving in the church, working in every capacity. And I can't wait. I believe the best is yet to come. This morning I read out of both 2 Kings 20 and then Isaiah 38, both chapters speak of Hezekiah, who was awesome as a king. Mm-hmm. He did what David did, and he was praised. He did the opposite of his father, who was wicked and worshiped all the false idols of the other nations and just brought judgment on Judah. But then Hezekiah comes forward and rids all those things, opens up the temple again, great things. But at the end of his life, crazy story, he gets sick. Isaiah the prophet comes to Hezekiah and says, hey, God says you're going to die. Hezekiah weeps and pleads with God. Listen, I've served you. It's in a sense paraphrase. I love you.
Yeah.
You know, and as Isaiah is leaving his house, God's like, go back and tell Hezekiah he's going to live another 15 years.
Mm.
He goes back. Hezekiah's like, woo, I'm going to live another 15 years. None of that is the point of my story. You know me, I'm long-winded. Here's my point of my story. Hezekiah, what does he do? Let me just remember. Oh, the Assyrians come and want to bring him gifts because they heard he was sick. When the Assyrians come to bring him gifts, he shows them everything.
Mm.
He takes them into the temple, shows the gold, shows all the glory of what God's doing in Jerusalem to the Assyrians.
Yeah.
And God's like, bad move.
Yep.
You just showed the enemy everything.
Yeah.
And so Isaiah then tells Hezekiah, listen, it's not going to happen in your lifetime, but your kids are going to become eunuchs and they're going to be taken captive.
Mm.
And Hezekiah's attitude grieves me, Kara. This is the whole point of that long story. Here's what's Hezekiah's attitude. Whew. Well, thank God. It's not going to happen in my generation.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to happen in the next generation. I'm like, that's disgusting. Yeah. I long for a legacy that when we die, this is what I told our son as I drove him 13 hours. We had several conversations. I said, Colton, I've done everything I can in my lifetime to try to honor God.
Mm-hmm.
But like my ceiling is your floor.
Yeah.
This can make me weep because he quoted it to me when I was getting ready to leave. I said, son, I didn't go to church and I haven't done things right and perfect, but I did everything I could that you would build off of what I'd have. Because clearly my dad didn't do that. But I got no excuse because I found myself in the Psalms today, just this morning. I don't remember what Psalm it was. I think it was Psalm 68, where it's just like, God is a father to the fatherless and a protector of widows. I'm like, God never left me. He's been my father. But all I want my son now to know is that he's got a father of fathers, you know, and it's not me. So like my ceiling, what I did everything I could to do, he gets to build off of.
Yeah.
And shame on Hezekiah for missing that. You know, I don't want to be a generation that just says, well, good luck, next generation. Good luck with our debt. Good luck with not being culturally relevant because we were the frozen chosen that got stuck in time.
I totally
like
agree.
I want to pass on a mantle to the next generation where they get to do what needs to be done.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's part of the reason why we haven't even talked about this yet, and we'll get there. But you know, we're about to open a campus in Lapine.
Come on.
And it's for these reasons. Like, it doesn't make sense. We are stretched thin. We are, you know, limited resources, but that.
But I've told you, like, when we die, we're not taking any money with us, or Lord, please come soon. I'm praying for the second coming of Christ. And when he comes, your resources don't mean anything. So if we got money in the bank account, I'm not saying drain our bank account. We want to leave here. I'm talking about leaving a legacy. We don't want to leave nothing to the next generation, but we want to at least invest our talents. We want to be a stewardship and say, we want to sow into the kingdom financially. Yeah. We want to take risks. I mean, I want to come back to church in the park because I don't want to forfeit some of the stories and celebrations.
Yeah. Talk about the baptism.
Particularly for those that didn't get to see it, but church in the park costs a boatload of money.
Yeah.
I mean, a boatload of money, tens and tens of thousands dollars. I mean, the truth is nearly $100,000. And you know, it's like, it's more and more and more. But then I watch the world and they spend like $1 million on an event. So, I mean, the only people that typically critique these things are Christians. You spent what on this?
Well, you know, what's really cool though? Last year, we probably spent about the same. And I remember having a conversation with Colton, our son, the one that you're talking about.
Come on.
And he's like, he said, what?
He's a nerd and he's a math nerd. And
somehow he learned that it, you know, cost us, I think, $80,000 last year. And he's like, well, how many baptisms were there? And
164.
He's like, well, let's divide 80,000 by 164. What was it? Like, I don't know what
that
is.
He did the math and he's like, oh, so I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
$487.80.
Thank you. Per baptism.
Per baptism. Yeah, so
is that worth it?
So if we did a sponsorship right now, call 1-800, you know, for $484, right? Your lost family member can get baptized, can get saved. You can know with certainty they have been regenerated. Like their hearts are no longer stone, but a heart. I mean, when you look at that, and that's just baptisms.
Yeah. How do you put a dollar number on someone's soul?
And it was rad. I mean, let's just go through it because we got Ray in the room right now who helped with a whole bunch of this production. He's helping just with the technical side of all that's happening right now. But I will just say this. We did it bigger and better than we've ever done before.
Yeah.
I mean, bigger LED walls. LED walls so big it needed a huge truss system to hold it up with massive
weight. Right.
So it's like all this money that goes into it, and it's not for a production. We had, we're guessing, up to 250 salvations, hands raised, saying,
they were,
I want to believe
over...
in Jesus for the first time. Yeah. And Pastor Luke did the altar call, and it was clear, it was compelling, it was, why not today? If you've not crossed over from death to life, and the scripture was Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And he essentially shared that it's not on merit and it's not on just trying to fulfill your life and come to this place of, he talked about the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. He's like, Jesus, he came up with this. His life is this. Mm-hmm. You have purpose, and your purpose is to be one with Christ. And when he did that, he's like, when I count to three, this is your day to be saved. And hundreds raised their hands. Young people, old people. I mean, we heard testimonies of people of like they've been praying for decades.
Yeah.
For family members, they took the risk and invited. I mean, we heard somebody who was like terrified to invite their coworkers because of the nature of their work, you know, people who cuss and people who do this. And it's like, well, I'm going to take the risk and invite them.
Yeah.
And I invited them and then they came, you know, and then it's like, oh, great. What is this going to be like now? Because they're going to come to work and they're going to know it's church.
Right.
And then that risk of that one coworker giving his life to Jesus Christ.
I talked with somebody at the park. He grabbed me because all of the staff had, you know, staff lanyards.
Yes.
And he grabbed me and his name was Tyrone. And he and his family were literally just passing through town.
Come on.
And they saw a sign somewhere. They were invited. I mean, we had a team go out the night before. It could have been in that.
Yeah.
But he raised his hand for Jesus. And he grabbed me specifically and wanted we give out like a Next Steps booklet or a new believer thing.
Yeah.
And he wanted one of those. Superheroes didn't get to him.
Wow.
And he sought me out to say, I said yes to Jesus.
Let's go, somebody.
I'm with my family.
Yep.
And he had a couple of teenage kids with him. He was so excited.
Wow.
It was so cool.
That booklet you're talking about, I saw so many given when the hands were, they couldn't get them fast enough. That was written by Pastor Noah, essentially saying, okay, you're saved. It's now what?
Yeah.
You know, like it doesn't stop here. Your journey just started. Like what are the next steps? What are the baby steps you take?
Right.
Baptism, getting in a group. You know, the prayer, like it's recognizing this is just the beginning of greater things.
Yeah.
Sometimes someone gets saved and it's like, well, I'm not sure I feel different now. I'm not sure what to do now. Well, that's where the enemy tries to deceive. And like Jesus talks about, it tries to snatch what God, you know, the Satan tries to snatch what God has just done to convince us what we haven't done. And it was awesome to see. So that's a cool story. You didn't share that.
I don't think I've shared that yet.
That's awesome. And you know, it's crazy. Like not only did people pass out invite cards the night before and the Thursday before, like, so that week of, we passed out probably hundreds of invite cards to people. Well, 3 weeks earlier, while we were in California visiting Biola University for the first time with our son in July, the staff went out all around town and hung up posters at coffee shops, at grocery stores, at restaurants. Come on. And then they took it even further and they went to pot shops and they went to sex shops.
Right.
I mean, when we talk about sex shops, we're literally talking about the only place that we have a strip club and sex shops in our town. I don't know what else to call them, but sex shops where you buy kinky, gross stuff, you know, is on the same street that our church is on. And they took the risk. And I mean, that takes some guts for a church to go in there and do that. And they let them do that. Come on, somebody. And I don't know if anybody saw that. You know, like, they went in to go buy a whatever you're going to buy at those shops and they saw it. Church in the park, like, I don't know, if you don't go where Jesus go to reach people, Jesus reach, how do they get reached? Somebody, how does that person find out that they're welcome at church or to hear the gospel or to get saved? And so it was crazy. I even, my gut, I'm like, is this okay, Lord? You know, like, is this okay? And it's like, well, he got criticized for hanging out with sinners, tax collectors. Jesus was criticized for being a drunk because he was with people who were drunks. So it's like, we might as well, like, take a step and, and not become one with the world, but let's go reach the world.
Absolutely.
Like Paul says, you know, I'm going to be Greek to the Greek, Jew to the Jew. Like, if an unbeliever does this, I'm going to go to where they are. I'm going to meet them where they
are. Absolutely.
So we had over 200 salvations.
Yeah.
We had 145 baptisms on Sunday.
Tell us about some of the baptisms.
Oh, man. It was so, so exciting. I mean, they were all over the place. Yeah. I mean, we got a text message a couple days ago. I mean, no, yesterday, a day or two ago.
Yeah.
Someone who's been praying for their sister.
Yeah.
Over and over and over, praying that she would just make a step forward, you know, stuck in sin, stuck in darkness. And she's like, I was in tears as I saw my sister get baptized.
Yeah, so good.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I mean, over and over, they were powerful. I mean, I've got this imagery in my mind of a brother and sister that got baptized together. They were probably 10, 11, 12, like preteen, but like coming out of that childlike state, and they got baptized together and they were like encouraging each other. You know, it was cold and they were like, you know, like encouraging each other in the cold. And they, as they were going, they were looking at each other and they got baptized together. And then I saw the dad posted, like, how cool that my kids got baptized. And I was just like, man, I was so encouraged to watch your kids baptize. I mean, so we had kids baptized, lots of teenagers got baptized, crossing over. And we saw a handmade tote bag of someone who put on that tote bag, beloved child of God. That
so
message
good.
Is sinking into this generation, to this culture today. I mean, they were all over the place. I mean, we saw people who clearly have been struggling with drugs, addiction, you know, pockmarks on them, different places. I mean, it was crazy, but they took the risk to come into the water.
Right.
They took the risk to say, I don't want to keep living my old life. I am now crucified with Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
I am baptized one with Christ. There was one of the most sacred ones, Kara, that happened, because I know you missed a story time this week with the staff.
Yeah.
And it was extremely sacred. Pastor Jesse shared this story. There was a gal in our church who passed away recently in a car accident. And she left behind two young kids. And it's just it's a really tragic story.
Yeah.
You know, life is full of tragedy. Sometimes we can't even explain the why, and or later we can. And this is recent. This is a couple weeks ago that the car accident happened. And just a lot more questions than answers at this point with young kids in our kids' church. And we were almost done with baptisms. We had done over 100 at this point. We're doing these baptisms. It started to get quiet down. We'd probably done 120, 130 at this point. And a lady comes forward in a beautiful white dress, you know, just like a sundress. And she comes forward, like, almost like she was prepared for baptism. It was like, if you could prepare. And the way Pastor Jesse explained it, she just looked beautiful. Pastor Jesse explained it, she looked like an angel, maybe in her 50s or, you know, like, and she comes in with a peace. That's the best way I could say it. It's like, she comes in with this peace and she steps into the water. And I directed her to Pastor Chris and Pastor Luke to get baptized. I didn't know who she was. And she explains to them who she was. And instantly, we all looked at each other and said, like, we knew right away, like, it was her mom that got baptized. And it was like, oh, wow. You know, and I didn't know that when she came in, or I would have had her come to me even, you know, like, just knowing that.
The mom of the daughter
That was killed.
Oh, gosh.
And I just, wow. I'm not saying names because I sometimes don't know what's, you know, appropriate or not appropriate. But when she was done, she got baptized, and it was, like, powerful for her. She just made some really powerful comments, and I gave her a hug and said, you know, this isn't the end of your story.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of grieving going on, a lot of questions going on. But here is a woman that lost her daughter.
Yeah.
She made a priority to not only come to church, she made a priority to put Jesus first in her life and to get baptized. Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's why we do this, is say, take that next step. You know, it's a commandment of Jesus, you know, to get baptized.
And often in scripture, we see it happen immediately.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, there's salvation, there's baptism. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know we had many of those that day.
Yeah.
And it was cool. I always like the stragglers, you know, like, we're done. It's over.
Yeah.
This long line that's 100 feet long is gone and empty. And then someone comes forward. Is it too late? You know, we had a few of those. We had a few of those stragglers that just came forward and said, I made a decision, or I want to get baptized. Or, you know, we had an old friend who we knew 20 plus years ago go through marriage, divorce, a remarriage. Mm-hmm. Her husband recently got baptized here at Journey Church. Yep. They have a beautiful child together. She came forward and said, guys, I need you to baptize my friend.
Yeah.
And she told me that story later. She's like, I've been walking with her and her daughter, and she's been sharing with her about Jesus, but I just never saw that, like, commitment. Yeah. Now she said she's ready. And,
nice.
And I got to baptize, you know, her friend. So,
yeah, so cool.
So baptisms were awesome.
Yeah.
The story I shared on Tuesday was the story of those ladies that were talking to you. You know, I went and got a plate of barbecue food.
Oh,
and I look over and I see you, and you are talking to two ladies, and I'm like, okay, what's going on over here?
She had caught me in the bathroom, I don't know, a month or so ago here. Okay. And so that's where she's like, hey, we met in the bathroom.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. Yeah, she was cute.
Well, I come over and I join the conversation, and I hear this, you know, I just jumped in, even though they were talking to you, and they're telling you that they live in Lapine.
Yeah.
And they're excited about this Lapine campus.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, this is exciting. But then the conversation got detoured, because soon we discovered that this was a mother-daughter relationship. And the mom is like, my daughter is a walking miracle, because she had cancer in her left arm.
Yeah.
And they were sharing with us this really hard, horrific story.
Yeah.
Of, she had this cancer. She went in for another problem, broken rotator cuff or something.
Yeah.
And they found cancer. MRI. And I think they had found cancer earlier, but they found a tumor earlier, but never told her, you know, the seriousness of this, like this. Like, it could have been detected way earlier, stage one or two, but that doctor didn't say anything about it. Later on in stage four, she had to have everything removed in her arm. So her arm's still intact, but the muscles, the tendons, the everything to make that arm work was removed. And so she's sharing this. It's like, okay, well, at least she still got her good arm, her right arm.
Yeah.
And this, you know, it's like that became her good arm. Then they shared at work a few weeks ago, she injured it. And she's been discouraged because, like, come on, Lord, like, my only good arm is now gone. I've lost it all. Like, she felt discouraged. Shows up at church in the park, and someone from the prayer team was just walking around.
Yeah.
She didn't come forward to the prayer tent, which we did have, which there's cool stories there too.
Oh, I haven't heard any of those.
Someone comes up and says, hey, can I ask you, do you need any prayer? Mm. That's the only question. If someone said no, they moved on. And she said, yeah, my only good arm is hurting and I'm in pain and it's not good. I need it for work. And they prayed over her, and you testify. What did she say? You remember?
No.
Oh, she said, I'm healed. It's good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. She said it feels better.
She's like, they prayed over it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can use it. It's good.
Yeah.
And to me, it was just like, I would have never heard that testimony had they not stopped you, and had we not talked about Lapine.
Totally.
And I just, and had someone not come up and ask for prayer, I mean, I'm going to believe today that she's even still healed. I mean, I'll follow up with her, but I just think that's absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
So Church of the Park was a huge success.
It was.
The prayer tent was awesome, because, like, I had been approached earlier that Dios and Dios en las Naciones, God in the Nations. Come on, I'm struggling with my Spanish here. Our Spanish-speaking church that meets at Journey, they were there at Churchland Park that day.
Yeah.
They were going to be in the prayer tent that day. So I was supposed to announce, hey, we'll have prayer after the service if you want it in the prayer tent. We'll also have Spanish-speaking prayer if you want it. I'm like, if I say that and you speak Spanish and don't understand English, how do we know what to do? Well, I totally forgot to say it during the opening welcome with Pastor Luke. I was supposed to say it then. I totally forgot. So right before I preached my portion of the sermon, I was like, okay, Lord, before I preach, I'm just going to remind people about prayer. And then I called up Bruno.
Yeah.
Where's Bruno from? Do you remember? It's like
Ecuador,
somewhere South America.
Yeah.
Came to the States as a young child, still speaks Spanish. I just called him forward, like, Bruno, be my interpreter. He wasn't ready or prepared.
Yeah.
And after the fact, I found out he was freaking out. His heart was like racing out of his chest.
He did such a good job.
He's never done it in front of, you know, such a big crowd. You know, he's like, I have to interpret in front of everybody.
Yeah.
But I just had him say, hey, could you welcome people in Spanish and tell them if you need prayer in Spanish, come forward. And we got this picture that was captured from one of our staff members of a man just like you could just tell there's a war. His hands are raised and all of the Spanish-speaking pastors are around him praying for him. And so we know because of who's praying for him, this is in Spanish.
Yeah.
And had I not even taken that moment with Bruno to say that, who knows if this guy would have come forward. Cool. And who knows? Like, I imagine, like, just the picture telling me there was deliverance happening.
Yeah.
You know, he was being set free from something.
Yeah.
Either saved, delivered, warring for something in prayer. I don't know. Yeah. But there was prayer that happened that day.
Amen.
I mean, there are so many good stories.
Yeah.
I mean, just across the board. I mean, even stuff that you had bad happen to you later on, emails of just reconciliation.
Mm.
To me, just the restoration that, you know, you're not going crazy. The enemy tries to discourage us, you know, but God always works things together for good.
He does.
So I can't wait for next Churchland Park. It's going to be twice the size. I'm serious, Kara. I'm dreaming bigger dreams. I mean, I'm just believing God's best over our city. I'm believing for revival.
Yeah.
I was praying for it. And then it's like the Lord even, like, I felt this impression in my heart that revival is not going to happen the way I think it's going to look.
Mm.
Because that's the way I think it's going to look like a large crowd. And the Holy Spirit is going to come on this large crowd and it's going to fall. But the Lord reminded me, don't stop prophesying revival.
Yeah.
Prophesying in our day and in our time, which is the more initiative. You started, and I wanted to say something earlier. But, you know, we started this more initiative 2 years ago. And we lost so many people because all they heard was money.
Yeah.
But vision can only operate at the pace of generosity.
Yeah.
Jesus had people give financially to his mission. Paul had no problem asking, you know, you go to Corinthians and he's saying that you give out of a cheerful heart and not out of reluctance. You do it because you want to give. Like, it takes money to do ministry.
Yeah, you just did a wedding in Salem. Do you remember?
Come on.
They have. I don't even know if they've told you their Moore story, but they keep saying, we have an incredible Moore story.
They live in Arizona now. They came to Oregon and they're like, you changed our lives. The church changed our lives.
Yeah.
And we never gave before. And when we started giving through the Moore Initiative, everything changed.
Yeah.
Two business owners. And they're like, we still give generously to God. We gave sacrificially. We not only tithed, but we gave above and beyond. And there's been blessing upon blessing in their lives. I'm going to record his Moore story.
Yeah, we need to.
And then we're eventually going to testify to it. So it was absolutely awesome. We have so many cool stories, but the stories aren't even the money, because this isn't like a prosperity gospel, prosperity message. I mean, we're going to share these stories over the next course, the next 4 weeks, as we're celebrating 2 years of taking that step of faith of more. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think. That was the theme. Now to him who is able to do more. And he is able to do more in our time, more in our day, more in our city. Believing that, we've had almost 800 baptisms in 2 years.
Yeah.
Come
Wild.
On. Almost 800 baptisms in 2 years. Now
so
to
good.
Him who is
Amen.
Able.
Amen.
We've had thousands of salvations.
Yeah.
People who have raised their hands and said, I'm in. I'm confessing in my heart and with my mouth. I am unashamed of the gospel. We've done it with eyes closed, eyes open, standing up. We've seen thousands of lives change the last 2 years. And now we've got this grand opening of a brand new Journey Kids space, which is phenomenal. It looks good. It feels good. It's clean. Kids are going to have their bathrooms for the first time.
Right.
It's safe. We've got cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
We've got more check-in stations than we've ever had before. Yeah. I mean, it's not weird where you go down this dark hallway to the back of the church. I mean, I just feel like we've always had these creepy kid spaces, and we've done the best we can to make them feel Journey, like excellent and good. Yeah. But all that has happened because we started more.
Yeah.
And I am unashamedly saying, God, I do want more.
Yeah.
You know, and if we have to stretch people and take them to God's word, Jesus had no problem talking about money, because money is what will stop you from experiencing the full kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to trust God with our finances.
Yeah.
So this Sunday, I'm going to re-kick it again, but yeah. I'll warn you, be, you know, totally honest. You said you were nervous at the beginning because of the video thing. I'll tell you, like, I'm always a little bit nervous with a little bit of PTSD that when I talk about money, I just know how people react.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not new. It was not new in Jesus' day. It's not new in our day. And so I've got to be willing to step up and say, what did Jesus do? That's all I want to do. I want his word to go forth, not my word to go forth.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, God doesn't need money. He doesn't need us to give. It's all his. We need to give to experience God's faithfulness, to experience the fruitfulness of his promise that what you sow is what you're going to reap.
Yeah.
That when you trust God with your finances, when you trust him with a little, you could be entrusted with much. Yeah. And I know that even for us, we've talked about how our finances parallel the church's.
Yeah.
That we've trusted God over and over in our finances.
Yeah.
We've stretched and given more than we thought we could ever give before. And God blesses that.
Yeah.
So who knows? Y'all are going to hear in the next few weeks whether or not people leave. So stay tuned to part two, the follow-up is, will people leave when Pastor Keith talks about money again? So let's see what's going to happen. But more importantly, I'm going to share the stories of what God's done.
Yeah.
You know, that the space is opening up, what we got to do with things like Church in the Park, and so much more.
Yeah.
I mean, so many more. So do you have a memorable memory? I got to think of a better way to say it. Do you have a memory over the last 2 years of just what God's done through more? Maybe it was something bad that turned good, or just what do you, if you look back at the last 2 years when we launched this in September of 2020?
We have been through a lot in 2 years.
Yes.
that's a big question.
It is.
I'll be honest. The first thing that comes to my mind is the story of Callie who's sitting in this room.
Okay. Come on, somebody.
We've got a baby Hope. That Hallelujah. Was prayed for in that space, that kid space.
Come on.
And she is the answer to prayer. She's the miracle baby.
Amen.
And I like, that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
And it's not without its hardships and trials and struggles. And, you know, in that new kid space, I mean, Callie's even mentioned to us, there's prophetically written down there, you know, that what's the exact verbiage? There is hope, or, you know,
I heard her name.
Okay, you just wrote hope. That's all you wrote?
And, I think it's 1 Samuel, for this child I prayed.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So Hannah's prayer for a child, you know.
And when, this was before you were pregnant. Have this.
When I was told I couldn't have a baby.
When she was told that she couldn't have a
Come
baby.
Come on, somebody. Come on.
That's what this was. She wrote hope on the Come ground on. In the new space.
And now we have baby Hope, who's now 9 months old.
Yeah.
Beautiful little girl.
Yeah.
Teeth are coming in. Big grin. Yeah. Huge smile. And we get to see the testimony that even in the moment when something seems unbarren, even when it seems impossible, even in the grieving and the petitioning, like Hannah, where she was misunderstood as being drunk, you know, that oftentimes we're misunderstood for going after God when we don't even know.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of that the last 2 years, Kara.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every time we move forward, you know, like 2025, I'm like, this is the best year of my ministry. You know, I'm turning 48 in a few weeks. And I'm like, I've never had ministry like this year. It's been so fruitful and been so good. And then this year we got accused of stuff that it's never happened in my ministry.
Yeah.
I've been in full-time ministry now, 27 years, vocational full-time ministry, for 27 years. And then we had lies coming out, like Satan's spewing this stuff of like, the lies were, the slander was that we were, what's that called when you steal money? Embezzling money. I mean, there was all these things that came out this year. I'm like, what the heck? Like, this
is the
weirdest
stuff. One of our elders even made a comment that was like, I've been in ministry for this particular person for many, 30 years probably.
Yeah, 30 years.
He's like, I have never seen so much accusation and I don't know what the word he used against a pastor.
Yeah.
Than I've seen in this church and against you.
No, that was an encouragement because he's worked at one of the largest churches in the country.
Yeah.
He started a church as a lead pastor. Yeah. I mean, he has served in ministry his entire adult life.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've never seen, I mean, blatant opposition and accusations like he has
at
with us.
Yeah.
And for the two of us, we're like, okay, that actually is an encouragement that, you know, that God is number one doing something, but number two, we're not going crazy. I mean, when those things come against you from people close to you or from people in the church, it's weird, you know, and when even those accusations came out a few months ago about that, I called every person. I'm like, I'm not going to sit on any of this stuff. Some people, I'll just be blunt. They were cowards and didn't call me back, even though they were speaking ill against me. Some people just had anger and rage, you know, and did not want to sit down and talk about it. I was willing to open up our books to the church and say, we're not hiding anything.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Like, we paid off our cars in 2022. And someone's like, oh, you're using the church's money for your cars. I'm like, what? Our cars are paid off. We have no payments on our cars. Like, that came from us selling our house. So we've been open books as pastors, which is like ridiculous, first of all, that there's no other field in the world where people are scrutinized more than pastors. Yeah. Like, you know, we don't go to CEOs or, you know, to baristas or lawyers and say, you know, how do you spend your money? Where is your money? Tell us how this is. But
well, and I understand it to a point, you know, like we represent church. God, right?
I get it too.
I get it, but the point being is that there has been a significant amount of accusations, specifically since we started the More Initiative.
It's the lies. It's just weird. Like, for me, it
well,
like,
it's what he called it sideways energy, and that is what it is, and it is of the enemy.
Yeah.
And the enemy hates what we're doing. He hates the ground that we're the traction that we're getting, the ground that we're breaking into.
Yes.
He hates it.
Yes.
I mean, I keep thinking of getting into Lapine, and like the enemy has had his grip over that area with pedophilia and just
addiction,
awful stuff. And
poverty.
He does not want us in that city.
Okay. That's a great way for us to end the podcast, even on a positive note, prophesying forward. So talking about the More Initiative, we've talked about Church in the Park, you know, we've talked about the kids space and finally getting the final permits where we have occupancy.
Yes.
Let's conclude with this because we started declaring, I remember it vividly when I started using the phrase Central Oregon shall be saved. I've always said hope for everyone. Yep. I stole that from another church. That church actually doesn't even exist anymore. There's nothing new under the sun, but I heard that phrase hope for everyone 10 years ago. And I knew that captured the heart of why we started Journey Church.
Yeah.
I used to say we're a church for people who don't like church, but it's like that phrase, it captured our heart, but it confused some people.
Yeah.
Hope for everyone has no confusion.
Right.
You know, it's for the poor, the wealthy, the young, the old, you know, the non-believer, the believer that still needs hope. It's like hope for everyone captures who we are, you know, that we're going after those who don't know Jesus yet.
Right.
And in March of, I think it was 2023, Pastor Luke's dad passed away. It was Palm Sunday. I'll never forget it. He came up for Luke's oldest birthday, and they had a birthday party on Saturday night. He went to bed and didn't wake up. And Pastor Luke's dad used to convincingly say every time he was behind the mic, anytime he ended a sermon, he would say, the Inland Empire shall be saved. The Inland Empire, San Bernardino, and the whole region down there, which is also very dark region, not known for light and God working and things like that. But he said it so regularly with this baritone booming voice that the whole church would chant it with him when he would say it. That I got to see that legacy when I visited that church. He passed away, and it just felt like the torch was passed.
Yep.
That we are carrying on a new generation. We've got to prophesy over our region. And although Central Oregon is far from the Inland Empire, I started making that statement. Yep. I even told Pastor Luke, I was like, I believe the mantle is passed, not just to Pastor Luke, but to all, like, we are family. We are blood-bought family. We are immersed in this. Pastor Jim, who I'm referring to, he's my spiritual father. Mm-hmm. And so I can prophesy Central Oregon shall be saved. When I said that, Kara, I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
I didn't know how or when or what that would look like. We planted Journey Redmond in 2020. And then all it took was someone in our church that lives in Lapine that came, they met with the two of us and said, would you guys consider coming to Lapine?
Yeah.
and the end is history, because we are going to reach Central Oregon.
Yeah.
We're going to have churches in La Pine. We're going to have churches in Madras. We're going to have churches in Prineville. Central Oregon is going to see a storm of salvations, because we're taking God at his word.
Yeah.
We're not going to stop. Jesus is coming soon. So we did an interest meeting a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And I think we just went down there casually, just thinking, would anybody come to this thing?
Yeah.
And the people that showed up to that meeting, Kara, were hungry.
Yeah.
They were hungry.
Yeah.
And I think the four of us, it was Pastor Leanne, Pastor Brandon, you and me, we were driving together and we were coming back from La Pine. I think all of us knew, we're doing this.
Yeah.
We're going down to La Pine. God gave us a building, a beautiful church facility. We're partnering with another church in town that owns it, that they have no plans to use it.
Yep.
There've been many churches there. I mean, just speak into why you think this is confirmation.
Well, I was approached by a youth leader at Church in the Park. She was busy making hamburgers. And, you know, she said how excited she is about a campus in La Pine. She said, that specific building my husband grew up in the church.
Right.
But he lost his faith there at the age of 11. And it was abuse. It was some type of abuse that happened in that. That's what I heard in that church. And I just said, you know, that is so confirmation. That's why I know God wants us there. Because he's a God of redemption. He's a God of restoration.
Yes,
it's what
he
he's used us for in this community.
Let's go.
Is we've taken strip clubs and we've turned them into sanctuaries.
Yes, we have.
And that's what we're going to do to this. We're going to take something that the enemy used, and we're going to turn it around for God's glory. And there's going to be there's going to be a whole new sound coming out of that church than ever has come out.
Our story has always been redemption.
Yeah,
we did. We met in a former strip club that was a sanctuary.
Yeah.
We meet in a strip mall right now, which the space we just converted was a Joann's Fabric. It was a Sears Appliances.
Right.
All these retail spaces that don't last, we redeem them for God's glory.
Yeah.
And we know it will last, that even if we move on from the space, the souls that are saved are going to last. We redeem spaces.
Amen.
And it was a confirmation in your soul when you heard that story. That was meant to be a church.
Yeah.
And the devil is a destroyer. He's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He works his way into the church, and he would love for that to never be a church again.
Yeah.
But it is a church with great kids' facilities, with a sanctuary. We're going to see a redemption in La Pine.
Yeah. Amen.
I know we're going to move to two services right away.
Yeah.
We're going to launch this in 2026. We've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
We have no clue how we're going to do it.
Right.
We don't have the money to do it. We just spent all our money on a kids' facility.
But
I told you, like, we're going to take an offering in December, some type of offering called Impossible.
Yeah.
That we want to do the impossible in 2026. And so we want to sacrifice generously. We want to say, God, what could you do with this for your kingdom? And one of those is, let's see, La Pine.
Absolutely.
Campus.
Yeah.
Church.
It would be easy for us to sit back and not do something. Like,
we have plenty of excuses.
It would be easy. But I think you and I both just have just lived our lives such that if we're going to do this, we're going to do it. We're going to go bigger. We're going to go home. And that's how I feel with this, is like, I it would be so much easier to not make this step to not stretch ourselves that much more thin.
Totally.
To not trust God that much more for the resources that we need.
I've always said, you can make excuses or progress, but not both.
Absolutely.
And if you're looking for an excuse, we all have them.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time.
Yeah.
We don't have enough teams.
Right.
We don't have enough money. That's like the mantra of every church.
Yeah.
It's every family. We know you don't have enough time.
you know,
you don't have enough resources, you know, but at the end of the day, like, when you trust God, you say, my time is yours. My money is yours. What could you do with it? And we have a multiplying God. He multiplies 30, 60, 100 times when we give it to him. And that's what we're expecting, a holy expectation that he will do something. And, you know, for the record, we're not going in there to steal any other Christians from any other churches. We want the lost saved in Central Oregon.
Yeah.
We have a ton of people that come to church in Bend from La Pine. If you're watching from out of our region, it's 40 minutes south of us. And so, you know, to go to a town 40 minutes south of us, people are driving an hour to come to church regularly, and not just a few, not dozens. We're talking hundreds of people are driving every weekend to come to a life-giving church. And we're just simply saying, if we go there, would you invite your unchurched neighbors, your non-Christian friends, you know, your unbelieving family member? Would you do that? And right now there's a resounding, if it's Journey, yes.
Yeah.
You know, if you do this here, it's yes. So.
And even the guys we sat with yesterday who represent, you know, they own the place, you know, from another church in town. They told us, we are so excited to partner with you, Journey.
Yeah, they had a lot of other people approaching, yeah. other churches, yeah. other ministries, schools, saying, yeah. we want to use this, but it didn't align with the dream of what they hoped it would be.
Right.
Yeah. It was built for a church.
Yeah.
They want to see life there. And they yeah. said, we believe you guys can do that.
Yeah.
And so we're honored to partner with them and say, yeah. all right, here we go.
Amen.
Have no clue how. We're going to try when, but...
But it's by faith. It's by faith, right? Yep. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yes.
So,
let's go.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great way for us to just end this episode today, yeah. and we'll close in prayer. But yeah. God is doing a lot.
He is.
We say this.
I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful for all He's doing.
Me too.
Yeah.
We say this podcast is simply to testify the good, the bad, the ugly for yeah. the glory of God. And you know, all of our lives have a little bit of those,
right?
But they can all be used for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Your life can be used for the glory of God. Yeah. And so I just. As we conclude this, it's heavy on my heart that we typically end in prayer, but yeah. just that we don't settle with where we are.
Yeah.
I thank God that 4,800 people showed up to Church in the Park. I thank God for 145 baptisms. I thank God for more than 200 salvations last Sunday.
Yeah.
But there's more, Kara. Yeah. There's more.
I believe it.
And we've got to storm the gates of hell.
Yeah.
Jesus said He will build His church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. This is offensive. We're plundering the darkness.
Yes.
We're going into the places that the enemy thought he had.
Yeah.
And just like the Israelites had to go into the promised land, we have to go in and take what's rightfully ours.
Yeah.
We have the authority.
I had a guy, this just reminds me, I had a guy, Dan, really sweet Dan, pull me aside a couple weeks ago and just said, he said, you know, your husband's like Caleb.
Mm.
And I was like, what do you mean? You know,
and he's getting old.
I know, right?
Come
and
on.
He's like, essentially the point just is like, you're a mountain mover.
Mm.
You're just like, we're just going to do this thing. Mm. I'm like, I received that. And that's, you know, what you're talking about. I just feel like, that's in your spirit.
Yes.
It's like, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it.
Amen.
You know, I'm going to believe God to move mountains.
Well, that's an honor to hear because
yeah.
I feel like when we got that reset, God gave me the Joshua Caleb spirit.
Yeah. That's what reminded me
that we're
of.
To go
yeah.
into the fortified places that looks like the enemy has, you know, it looks impossible.
Yeah.
The walls of Jericho, they look
totally.
Too big. What weapons do we have?
Yeah.
I am unskilled,
yep.
untrained,
totally.
uneducated.
I am the underdog.
Who am I?
Yeah.
But as long as we're obedient, as long
yeah.
as we abide, as long as we go where
it's
the Spirit
it's all
tells
him
us,
that does
amen.
It.
Sometimes we got to shout. Sometimes
right.
we got to blow the shofar. Sometimes we got to just
right.
scream. But
we had a shofar blower at Church in the Park.
We did.
Hear it?
Praise be to God.
Yeah.
You know, like it always is weird to me. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know what? It's actually something biblical. So
yeah.
like, Lord, I'm going to lean into this.
Right.
But I did tell security that if service starts, could you gently tell them we don't want to be distracted?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, let's pray.
Okay.
Lord, we do want that trumpet sound because mm-hmm. we know you're coming soon. So Lord, we thank you today for the testimonies, a reminder that this is your church. It doesn't even have to be Journey by name, but you are building your church and we get to be a part of it. So any listeners that are watching this, whatever church they're a part of, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would continue to build your church,
mm-hmm.
particularly for those that might have stumbled and made it this far that are not believing in you, Jesus. I thank you that, Lord, you died on the cross and you rose from the grave so that every person can believe in you and be saved, that you so loved the world, that you gave your only son, Father. So we take you, Jesus, at your word. We love you that you'll never leave us nor forsake
mm-hmm.
us. So I pray that every listener here would be infused with the reminder of salvation and that God, you are doing a good work. You are sanctifying us and you are doing greater things. So Lord, I ask that today as we just shared these things, it'd be honoring to you and that you'd continue to multiply these stories, that
yeah.
many more would be saved, that more children would fall in love with you, that we would get to see an expansion in our region of
yeah.
your church growing, that we would get to plant more churches. And so we pray for your blessing, your favor upon these things, that in future episodes, we would look back and say, look at the goodness of God. We get to dwell in the land of the living. So with that said, I thank you today for who you are. Thank you for this team that's helping making this video podcast work. We ask for your favor, your blessing, because you're a God of abundance. So why wouldn't we ask for these things? We say these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, thanks for watching, y'all. We'll see you on the next episode of Confessions of a Pastor.
Thanks for joining us on The Journey of Confessions of a Pastor. Please hit subscribe and rate. We are better together. See you next time.